Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. And we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you'd like to join us, we're going to be remembering two legends in the world of cinema that we lost on Sunday. Martin Landau, Oscar-winning actor, died at the age of 89. And one of my heroes, filmmaker George Romero, passed away. He was only 77. And so these are two, you know, huge losses to the world of film. And we're going to talk a little bit about their careers. And we would love to hear from you and your thoughts. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. We are also going to play a clip from an interview that I did with George Romero, this one back in 2004 when he was on the show. And we're going to play a little portion of that interview about where he talks about, you know, taking on taboos and what drives him to make movies and things like that. And you can hear the full, by the way, the full interview is available on our website at WGNradio.com. If you go to WGNradio.com, it's right on the front page. And the interview itself runs almost a whole hour. So if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to WGNradio.com and check it out. But we'll play a little portion of it a little bit later on. Martin Landau was a chameleon-like actor, they say, who gained fame as the crafty master of disguise in the 1960s TV show Mission Impossible, then kept a long and versatile career with an Oscar for his poignant portrayal of aging horror movie star Bela Lugosi in 1994's Ed Wood. He passed away at 89. Landau died Saturday of unexpected complications during a short stay at the UCLA Medical Center, according to a statement sent out by his publicist. Mission Impossible, which also starred Landau's wife Barbara Bain, became an immediate hit upon its debut in 1966. It remained on the air until 73, but Landau and Bain left after the show's third season amid a financial dispute with producers. And then they starred the British-made sci-fi series Space 1999 from 75 to 77. Landau co-starred with Bain in Rod Serling's acclaimed series The Twilight Zone. And in 2011, he lent his voice to an episode of the animated series The Simpsons. Landau might have been a superstar, but for a role he didn't play, the pointy-eared Starship Enterprise science officer Mr. Spock, Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry had offered him the half-Vulcan, half-human who attempts to rid his life of all emotions. Landau turned it down. A character without emotions would have driven me crazy. I would have had to have been lobotomized, he explained in 2001. Instead, he chose Mission Impossible, and Leonard Nimoy went on to everlasting fame as Spock. And then, ironically, Nimoy replaced Landau on Mission Impossible. So he made a lot of movies when he was younger, but the big, you know, he had some, you know, he dropped off. He was one of the classic villains in Alfred Hitchcock's movie, North by Northwest. He was great in that. And you know, he started making, you know, TV movies and other films that were not quite as successful as he had hoped. And then there was a period of time when he was just making really, really bad, like, horror movies and things, which some of them were just, you know, really, really terrible. And there was a period of time when you thought he made a movie called Alone in the Dark in the 80s, which is really bad. And, you know, a couple of really cheesy horror movies and stuff like that. And it was a long time where he wasn't doing what he should have been doing, working with material that didn't even remotely come close to the talent that he had. But then it all kind of turned around in 1988 when Francis Ford Coppola cast him in Tucker. And this was the movie that really started to change things. And he got himself his first Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. And then the following year, Woody Allen cast him in Crimes and Misdemeanors. And that pretty much set in motion the second half of his career, the really wonderful second life that he had, suddenly being directed by major directors and starring in serious dramas, not stupid sci-fi movies or anything like that. He would move back and forth between comedy and drama, it all culminated in 1994 when he got that Academy Award for Ed Wood and as Bela Lugosi, which is a remarkable performance, one of my favorite performances ever. And he deserved the Academy Award that year, and it was great. And he continued to work. You know, he worked on the X-Files movie. He made comedies. He made dramas. He was in the live-action version of Pinocchio. He played Geppetto in that. He was in City Hall with Al Pacino and John Cusack. Eric and I mentioned Rounders a little bit earlier on, which was just a terrific movie with Matt Damon, John Malkovich, and Edward Norton. And he was great in that. You know, he was in Ron Howard's Ed TV with Matthew McConaughey, a wonderful performance in the movie The Majestic with Jim Carrey. He was just a great actor with an incredible amount of talent who continued to work. He's got four films that he was going to be working on in 2017. And he was a regular for a while on Entourage. He was one of the best things on that show. But he was just a tremendously talented, great actor, and a huge loss. And again, you can check him out on Mission Impossible. I would rent Alfred Hitchcock's classic North by Northwest if you want to see him play a really classic villain. And then some of the movies that you should check out, Ed Wood, obviously, Crimes and Misdemeanors, Tucker, and I would say The Majestic. He was great. He was 89 years old. Martin Landau passed away. And we'll have some thoughts on some of people's, from the celebrities' point of view, and their thoughts on Martin Landau. We'll talk a little bit about that. And if you guys want to jump in with your favorite Martin Landau performances, 312-981-7200. And we will also pay tribute to one of my heroes. This one hurts, George Romero, the creator of basically the zombie genre, the man who wrote and directed Night of the Living Dead and forever changed the face of horror cinema. Was an incredibly important artist. So we'll talk about him as well, and we'll play a little clip from my interview with him, one of the interviews I did with him back in 2004. That's all coming up. Again, if you want to jump in with your thoughts, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn in beautiful Jefferson Park. I want to thank George Karzis and everybody at the Gale Street Inn for being awesome and for sponsoring my dad's joke. Check out GaleStreet.com. Go in and tell them I sent you and have a great meal at Gale Street Inn. And we thank them for sponsoring my dad's joke. We lost a couple of legends over the weekend. The great actor Martin Landau has passed away. He was 89 years old. And one of my personal heroes, the director and writer George Romero, passed away at 77. And he is responsible for creating the modern zombie genre, and not just being a great horror film director, but being a great satirist and a great voice. And we'll talk more about George Romero and, in fact, hear a few minutes from a interview that I did with George back in 2004. And Martin Landau passed away, and we have some celebrities who have their thoughts on Martin Landau. Marley Matlin said, "So sad to read about the passing of Martin Landau, a great talent with a kind heart, always so warm to me. I will miss you. Rest in peace." And again, if you guys want to jump in with your thoughts, talk or text, 312-981-7200. Patricia Arquette said, "Working with Martin Landau and Ed Wood was a joy. What a talented, sweet, generous actor. Hashtag real deal." William Shatner says, "Condolences to the family of Martin Landau." David Harbour, who plays the sheriff on Stranger Things, says, "The great Martin Landau has died, longtime member of the Actors Studio and brilliant craftsman in our tradition, and I will miss his work." Speaking of the Actors Studio, Martin Landau was indeed a student at the Actors Studio, studied there. And if you get a chance, I'm assuming it's probably on YouTube somewhere, but his episode of Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton, Martin Landau's episode of that show, is really great, and really thoughtful and enlightening. Obviously, you know, he was a great actor, and he spoke very well about his craft and everything. It's a really terrific episode of Inside the Actor's Studio featuring Martin Landau. And I'm sure it's out there, you know, on YouTube or in the internet or something like that. But it's definitely worth a look, at, you know, especially at this time of reflecting. Ethan Embry, terrific actor, says Martin Landau was kind, curious, and he treated artists with respect. He was a great teacher because he sought to learn from his students. And then Brent Spiner said, a great actor, Martin Landau, leaves us at the age of 89. So glad the part of Lugosi came to him. He crushed it. Rest in peace. And, you know, again, if you have not seen Ed Wood, you really, really should, because it's a great movie, one of the best that Tim Burton has ever made. And that performance by Martin Landau in that movie is just really, really, really special. Really special. Couple of texts have come in, and if you want to jump in with your comments and thoughts, we'll talk a little bit about Martin Landau, and then we're going to talk about the great George Romero and hear a little bit of an interview I did with him. 630 area code says, turn on any old cowboy or Western movie or TV show, and you'll find Martin on a horse or a wagon, especially in the 50s through the 70s. He did a ton of TV work. I was looking at his IMDb page, and it's one of those pages. You know, Dan, when you go to certain actors and you click onto their IMDb page and the credits just go brrr. This is Martin Landau's one of those guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you see? You've seen Ed Wood, right?
I've never seen Ed Wood.
Oh man, you got to see it. It's really, really great. And he, you know, just so funny in it, and heartbreaking and sad, and you know, and of course hilarious. As I mentioned before, the scene where the guy asks Martin Landau, or we ask Bela Lugosi for his autograph, and then refers to him as Karloff's sidekick, is one of the funniest scenes when he starts going off on this guy. and Johnny Depp, who, by the way, is also really great in the movie. And the relationship that Ed Wood has with Bela Lugosi is so perfectly and wonderfully captured between those two actors, Johnny Depp and Martin Landau. And you can tell that they got along, that they worked well together. It's just magic. The chemistry between the two of them is magic. And it's a great movie. Beautifully shot in black and white as well. And 773 area code says, don't forget Landau in The Outer Limits, in the episode The Man That Was Never Born. It was classic and complex. There you go. I just find that really interesting that Leonard Nimoy replaced him in Mission Impossible when he turned down Spock. There's a certain sort of poetic irony to that.
There is. I was on the phone with a caller. Did you mention the Gilligan's Island Harlem Globetrotter appearance?
I did not. That was during the lean years for Mr. Landau, when he was appearing with the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. Yeah, there were lean years for Mr. Landau. If you look at that stretch there, from like the late 70s through, like it was like a 15-year period where, not a lot of quality stuff was coming his way, and he needed to pay the bills. And obviously, he's an actor and he wants to work. So, you know, it happens to a lot of actors and actresses where you have that period of time where it's like, yeah, I'm going to say yes to crap because I got to pay the bills. And he did do that for a while. But yeah, I haven't seen the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island in years and years and years. To be quite honest with you, I forgot that he was even in it. But there you go. So again, if you want to remember some great stuff, maybe, you know, you should rent Tucker. I'm not a fan of Crimes and Misdemeanors, but he's great in it. But rent Tucker and rent The Majestic, Rounders, and especially Ed Wood. And, of course, North by Northwest, which, you know, that goes without saying. It's a masterpiece. So rest in peace, Martin Landau, a legendary actor who worked a lot. And there's a lot of stuff out there that you can find on the Internet and that you can rent where you can watch some great Martin Landau performances. And, again, if you can find the Martin Landau episode of Inside the Actor's Studio, I highly, highly recommend it. One of the best episodes of that show ever. Okay, we got a break here. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, I will talk about one of my heroes, devastated by this loss, heartbroken. George A. Romero passed away on Sunday and has left behind an amazing amount of incredible work, and we'll talk about that, and I'll throw out some titles at you, and I would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200, and we will play a clip from a 2004 interview that I conducted with George. And that's all coming up right here on WGN, and the news is next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. One of my heroes, true heroes, passed away over the weekend. The great George A. Romero, zombie horror film master, and much more than that. He passed away at the age of 77. He is responsible for some of the best horror movies ever made. He was also basically responsible for inventing the zombie genre as we know it. And his contributions to movies are legendary, and I love the guy. Here's what they say out of New York. George Romero, whose classic Night of the Living Dead and other horror films turned zombie movies into social commentaries, and who saw his flesh-devouring undead spawn countless imitators, remakes, and homages, he's died at 77. Romero died Sunday following a battle with lung cancer, said his family in a statement provided by his manager, Chris Rowe. Romero's family said he died while listening to the score of The Quiet Man, one of his favorite films, with his wife, Suzanne DeRocher, and daughter, Tina Romero, by his side. Romero is credited with reinventing the zombie movie with his directorial debut, the 1968 classic Night of the Living Dead. The movie set the rules that imitators live by. Zombies move slowly, lust for human flesh can only be killed when they're shot in the head. If a zombie bites a human, the person dies and returns as a zombie. Romero's zombies, however, were always more than mere cannibals. They were metaphors for conformity, racism, mall culture, militarism, class differences, and social ills. The zombies, they could be anything, Romero told the Associated Press in 2008. They could be an avalanche. They could be a hurricane. It's a disaster out there. The stories are about how people fail to respond in the proper way. They fail to address it. They keep trying to stick with what they are instead of recognizing that maybe they're too big for us to try to maintain. Night of the Living Dead was made for $100,000, and in 1999, the Library of Congress inducted the black and white masterpiece to the National Registry of Films. Stephen King, who worked with him on Creepshow and The Dark Half, called him his favorite collaborator and wrote on Twitter, "There will never be another like you." Guillermo del Toro called the loss enormous. James Gunn said he was so incredibly DIY, I realized movies were not something that belongs solely to the elites after watching Night of the Living Dead. And Romero's influence could be seen across the decades of American movies, from John Carpenter to Edgar Wright to Jordan Peele, the Get Out filmmaker. Many considered Night of the Living Dead to be a critique on racism in America. So Dawn of the Dead, which I think remains my favorite of his movies, it's just an incredible movie. It really is. And some of the other things that George Romero did that are kind of under the radar are some of the movies that he did after Night of the Living Dead. He did a terrific movie called Season of the Witch in 1973. He made a great film called The Crazies, which was the inspiration for a play that I directed that my friend Manny Tamayo wrote back in 2006 called Operation Infiltration. It was the total ripoff of The Crazies. We just basically ripped off George Romero, which everybody has done. Anybody who has ever worked in the horror genre at some point or another ripped off George Romero. But he was more than just a horror filmmaker. He was a brilliant commentator. He was a satirist, I think, on the level of Mark Twain. He was a fiercely independent artist. He was an icon. These kind of artists are once in a lifetime, and he was just one of the greatest people ever. And I love his movies. I adore his movies. His movies changed my life. They helped shape me. Dawn of the Dead is one of the most important movies I've ever seen in my life. And I saw it when I was 14, and my worldview was affected by his stuff. I got to know George Romero over the years, interviewing him 5 times on the show, moderating Q&As at horror conventions like Flashback and hosting screenings with him. He was a great guy. He was an incredible guy. He was funny. He was generous. He was cantankerous. He cared. He was passionate. And one of the best and one of my favorite artists ever. So I've had the pleasure, the honor, the joy of interviewing George A. Romero over the years. This clip that we're going to play is from a 2004 interview that I did with George right before the Flashback Weekend convention. Very first time I ever, this is the first time, 2004, this interview is the first time I ever interviewed George Romero. And it was a great interview, went on for almost an hour, and you can hear the full interview on our webpage at WGNradio.com. It's right on the front page. You can hear the entire full, almost full hour interview. We're going to pay a portion of it here. This is George talking about his movies and what leads him to take on taboos, what drives him to make horror movies. And at the time, he had just made a movie called Bruiser, which is an extraordinarily strange and extraordinarily good movie that you should check out. And I'll talk a little bit more about it after we play this clip. But this is from 2004. This is me interviewing the great George Romero.
The thing about that everybody talks about Night of the Living Dead, the original, is that a couple of sequences that are pretty gross. But was it, I think that film, to me, one of the reasons why people thought it was so shocking was just, it goes beyond, like, the gore. I mean, for me, there were so many taboos broken in that film.
Yeah, well, the little girl, the family unit collapsing, and the fact that the lead actor is African American, and which was accidental. I mean, Dwayne was the best actor from among our friends.
Yeah.
And so
it wasn't like a statement. It just happened. You so happened to cast the African American guy as your lead.
That was not a statement. Yeah. I guess that if we deserve any credit, we didn't change the script. But now I look back on it and I think maybe we should have. You know, maybe we missed a bet there. Maybe we should have opened that door a little bit. And made a little more of it.
Inadvertently, it did. But that became sort of a pattern in your films.
You did, like
the heroes are women, minorities, and drunks.
Well, you're talking about me over here. The little Spanish kid that grew up that got beat up by all the Italian guys in the Bronx.
Yeah.
That's you, right? That's your guy.
That's me, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Okay, let's talk to Frank. Frank?
Yes, hi. How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Pretty good. Listen, Mr. Romero, it's such an honor to speak with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm flattered to be here.
I really appreciate it. And I'm in the horror business myself. I work in a haunted house. It's called Dungeon of Doom. And we have a large screen in the lobby. We always show clips of all of the Dead movies, and people just get such a kick out of it. And I know you guys were talking about your favorite scenes, and it's kind of ironic that one of my favorite scenes in Day of the Dead, and I actually met Tom Savini at the horror convention this past March, I believe it was. We actually bought some props from him. Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he's really a neat guy.
Yeah, he sure is. He's a funny guy, too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes was when one of the military guys was in the big pit with all the zombies, and they pulled his head from his body, and his larynx came apart, and his voice just shot up the pitch of his voice.
Went high pitch.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, I just laugh.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of gross, but anyways, I'll make this quick. My question to you, sir, is what is your inspiration? What drives you to make these movies?
You know, I grew up on the old EC comic books and, the gore stuff. And, that's the stuff that we all giggled at. I mean, those of us that dug it, that's what we were into. But I think what really drives me to do the zombie films is to try to reflect a little bit of what's going on in society. I mean, the movies are... they're basically horror films and they're fun and it's a fun ride. But, I'm also trying to express some of my opinions about what's going on,
Mm-hmm.
And I think that unfortunately what happens with a lot of horror things is, it's a guy with a mask and a knife and there's no sort of, social satire or anything going on underneath. And at least what I've tried to do, at least with the zombie films that I've done is, make them, comments about a little bit about society.
I think you do that with all your work, George. I think it's evident in all your work.
I think
Knight Riders is a fabulous film and a really great commentary. I think Monkey Shines is as well. All of your stuff. And my God, Bruiser. We haven't even mentioned Bruiser. That is a fantastic film.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah, I love it, man.
I like it a lot. And, people just didn't get it. Or
God,
at least
it was so great.
The distributors didn't get it.
Yeah,
clearly.
Hey, Frank, thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Frank, thank you.
Yeah. Bruiser, which is a film that you can get on DVD.
Yeah.
And they played it here in Chicago at the Art Institute.
Yes, yeah.
And I saw it then, and I thought it was fabulous, man. And it was just great. And it was your first film in like 6 years or something.
Yeah.
And it was so great to see it. And then it, I don't know. I think if you haven't seen Bruiser, if you haven't seen it, folks, You need to buy it or rent it because it's a terrific film.
Well, thank you for that plug.
Oh, absolutely.
Great. I really liked that film a lot.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it was a strange thing. It was a French company financed the film, and, you know, when you could get the executives on the phone. And then as we were shooting, while we were shooting, there was a merger. They merged with Vivendi, and then Universal bought them. And then all of a sudden, those guys weren't there on the other end of the line anymore.
That's so aggravating.
Yeah, and, you know, nobody got it. Yeah. But it really was one from the heart, and I'm glad it's there, and I like it a lot.
You should be proud of it. It's great. It's great work.
Well, thank
great
you.
Work.
Oh, man. Just hearing his voice, man. It's making me sad. George Romero, just one of the best. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I'll throw a few more titles out there that you should see beyond the zombie movies, because he did more than just make the zombie movies, although that would have been enough if that's all he did. But, yeah, he was legendary, and just, as you can hear, a really wonderful and nice man. And it's a huge, huge, huge loss to the world of film. And in the world in general. So we'll come back and talk more about George Romero. My dad will call in and tell a jokey joke, and that's coming up in just a couple of minutes as well. All right. 312-981-7200 if you want last few minutes of the show here. We're going to be talking more about George A. Romero, who one of my heroes and a massively talented man who passed away on Sunday. And I would like to mention some of the movies that I think you should see. I mean, obviously, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, which is, I think, the best zombie movie ever made, Dawn of the Dead, the original, not, of course, obviously not the remake, which is actually not too bad. But Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, the original trilogy. Day of the Dead, which, by the way, features perhaps the best zombie ever. That would be Bub. He was the zombie that the mad scientists were experimenting on, and he was evolving and learning things and listening to Walkmen and learning how to shoot guns and stuff. And that's Bub. He's one of the great. If you ask any zombie fan, any horror movie fan, to name the best zombie ever, 9 times out of 10, somebody will say Bub. And here's the funny thing is that the guy who plays Bub is also the guy who has the spleen operation in Seinfeld and has the Junior Mint fall into his wound. That's the same guy. It's the guy who plays Bub. So Day of the Dead, a great one. A couple of movies that are under the radar. I mentioned Knight Riders in that little clip. Knight Riders is one of the strangest movies you'll ever see. It takes place. It takes place on like a Renaissance fair on motorcycle choppers. And Ed Harris is in it. It's a very weird movie, but a great one. Just a wholly original. Tom Savini is an actor in it. And I remember, that's why I was laughing so hard earlier when I was talking to the guys, Colin and Eric, and their like first exposure to George Romero was Knight Riders, which is just like the strangest movie to be exposed to George Romero from. But it's a great movie. And of course, legendary Creepshow, which is a collaboration that he did with Stephen King, a bunch of short stories based on those horror comics that he was talking about in that clip. Legendary movie, which has a serious sequence involving cockroaches that I'm glad Esmeralda's not here because she would be freaking out if I mentioned that to her. There is also Martin, which is a great film. Kind of a vampire movie, kind of not wholly original. Again, John Ampolis plays the main character who thinks he's a vampire and thinks that he needs blood. But it's much more than that. Again, this is a movie about images and things that are not clear to the eye. Great film. Mentioned Bruiser, which is a really good movie. Monkey Shines, which is a phenomenal movie. About a paraplegic who gets a monkey helper to help out around the house, and this monkey has been messed with a serum, and it starts to get smarter and starts to react and psychically linked up with the paraplegic guy. So when the guy gets mad, the monkey acts out with his vengeance, and it's a great movie, really suspenseful. The last 15 minutes of Monkey Shines is among the most suspenseful stuff that George Romero ever put on film. I highly recommend Monkey Shines. He returned to the zombie genre in 2005 with Land of the Dead, which is a great film. And again, very political. Eric was talking about that one. One of my favorites is the follow-up to that one, and that's Diary of the Dead. Diary of the Dead, which says more about social media. I mean, this movie was shot in 2007 on a minuscule budget, and it's not a sequel. It's a reboot. It takes place the very first night of the zombie apocalypse. So all the stuff, it's a new storyline. It does not continue where Land left off or where Day left off. It's a whole new thing, shot completely with digital cameras on a minuscule budget. But it says more about social media and where we are right now. And this movie was shot in 2007. And the stuff that it says is just as accurate and way, way before its time, like way ahead of its time, way ahead of its time. And Diary of the Dead is one of my favorite George Romero movies of all time. I think it's my favorite since Dawn. That's how much I loved Diary of the Dead. And then his last movie was Survival of the Dead, which is not a great movie. It's good. It's flawed, but it feels more like a Western, like I was saying a little bit earlier. One of his favorite movies of all time was Quiet Man, and in fact, that's what he was listening to when he died. They put on the soundtrack to Quiet Man, the John Wayne movie, which is one of his favorite movies of all time, and that's how he passed away. And there's a lot of that influence in Survival of the Dead. I think he always wanted to make a Western. I think he always wanted to make like Ryan's Daughter or those old school kind of a film like The Quiet Man. And he ended up throwing a lot of that stuff in Survival of the Dead. Survival of the Dead was his last movie. It was a long time ago. It was 2009. He was on a stretch there where he was working, releasing a movie every couple of years from Land through Survival. And then he stopped working for a while. But I got to meet him several more times. I got to hang out with him at the conventions. And I was lucky enough to have, got to know him. And he is a master talent. And it's not just the horror genre. He's a satirist, and he was just a genius. And this was a huge, huge loss for the world of cinema. And I was really, truly devastated when I heard about it. I had to actually sit down. I was like, I got to sit down for a minute because George Romero passed away. So anyway, one of my very favorite artists of all time. There's plenty of great stuff for you to see. Check out his IMDb page. And if you want to listen to the full interview that we played the clip from, it's on the front page of WGNradio.com, and it's almost an hour long. And he is a fabulous interview, and it was a great interview to do. And so anyway, rest in peace, George Romero, and one of the biggest influences on me and one of my heroes, and he will be missed. Okay, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up next, followed by the opening bell right here on 720 WGN.